right. So Matt, Mark, and Brian Gardner, do you want to come up? Because we'll start, and you can get the computer projector set up. And the contest finalists, most of you got announced earlier, so if you can come on up also. That is the italic theme team, the Ron and Daisy team for themes, the name badge script, the comment conversation starter, and what's the third one? The manage plugins. You teams, come on up. And so the way this is going to work, Mark basically has all of these submissions loaded onto his laptop, and we will have each team just give a quick, super fast description of what they built and why, no more than 1 or 2 minutes. And then the judges will be asking them questions based on their evaluation of the code and the actual theme or plugin. They'll get to respond. We'll get through each team. The judges will talk for a little bit, and then they'll announce the winner. We'll pick one theme and one plugin, and we'll announce the winners on the development blog next week.
All right. Do you want to start with the themes or the plugins?
Do the themes.
Do the themes? Yeah. Okay.
Morning, everyone.
And we all got sort of a late start today. I don't know about all you. So the first one I'd like to look at is Italic Smile. This is by Tim and Jacob. Sorry.
This? There we go. Italic Smile is just a really basic minimalist theme developed towards traveling. Puer Tea Tour was a website, one of the first ones we built off of this. And he was traveling in China and taking photos, and it was just a really quick, simple theme that would allow you to build more off of it, and it's very photo-friendly. So there's, the gallery, and then color box is all integrated. It's pretty simple.
Want me to do a photo?
What's that?
Want me to do a photo insert? So it's okay. Photo friendly.
Yeah. So like, if you look at the gallery.
First, I need to make
one. Just on the front end. Yeah. I mean, because it's all front end based.
I mean, it's.
Oh, there's no photos on here already.
I'm making one.
If you go to italicsmile.com, it has.
Oh yeah, let's just do that since you have some content up.
Do you have net?
Yeah, so you can see here, like, it just has a real nice, clean interface that's easy to expand upon, and Colorbox is integrated. And also, Colorbox is integrated so that any other photos beyond the gallery will pop up in Colorbox, any link to an image.
And I see it works with keyboard shortcuts, which is very handy. Be able to use the arrow keys to just zip through these.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
So, Brian, what do you think? You're a theme guy.
being guilty of overdoing themes to some point, making them too complex, when I saw that come up, I thought to myself, oh, how nice it is to go back to simplicity and white space and clean organization. So I really appreciated that element of it.
I like the emphasis on photos and that, the galleries work, because I'm kind of a photo guy myself, and I feel like there's not enough themes that have good galleries in them. Particularly, could you go to the... one of the most common questions I get on my blog is how do you do the image template? And you can kind of get around that because when you click on it, you get sort of the slideshow thing happening regardless. So that was pretty neat, and I could definitely see recommending this for, a photo blogger.
Yeah, you can click here. It's a second. And you could just see that, all images open up in the external as well, in the color box, which is kind of a handy feature. It just looks for anything that links to an image tag.
Cool.
And, of course, like I said, a big plus for this for us was to build this, and then we can easily tweak that towards other sites. I mean, it's easy to continue to build sites off of this. It would be great for child theming.
Okay.
And where's the name from?
Chatting on Google Talk. And when you do the underscore, you italicize things. And when that was brand new, we started fooling around with everything. And so somebody came up with Italic Smile out of that.
Can you show the audience an italic smile?
It's right here.
Like that?
You have to wink too, because it's winking. So you have to
definitely a winky one.
And lean it to the side.
Definitely a text-based feature.
Cool, thank you.
Thanks. By the way, I'm trying to popularize. You know how people do this for quotes? I'm trying to popularize people going like this for italics. So I really want to go to the mall.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to catch on.
Really?
We have to do that the rest of the time.
Okay. Hit me in the knee and we'll all do it together.
Who's up next? Buddy and Matic.
Buddy Matic. By Ron and someone else. It wasn't just Ron here. He got total credit.
Go for it.
Okay. All right. I was just waiting to see for him. So basically, the concept of a theme framework and a child theme is that the framework contains the functionality and basic layout of the theme for the theme, and the child theme is a skin that's laid over top of it. The child theme has the ability to change the functionality of the theme framework. So that's one half of this framework. I did some mods to Thematic, which is one of the more popular frameworks, and Daisy did the child theme for this submission. The other thing that's on my mind, because Andrea and I work with BuddyPress, is that whenever we get to the point things have merged, there's probably going to be quite a few people who are going to turn on BuddyPress and discover that their theme doesn't support it. So the concept behind this framework is it works perfectly fine in a standard WordPress blog now, and at 3.0 it still will. But when you turn on BuddyPress, all of the functionality for BuddyPress is also in the framework. And
why did you choose Thematic? Why did you choose
Thematic? Well, it's fairly popular. So from my perspective, if people, there should be a fair number of people out there who already know how to make a child theme for Thematic. I could have just as well gone with Hybrid, for example. The other reason why I did it is I've worked with it.
Okay.
So I was familiar with it, and I had a fairly good idea as to that I would be able to do this.
I had a question for you, Ron, but it's drawing a blank right now. I can't think of it right now.
That's okay.
Would you say you're really drawing a blank?
Really drawing a blank.
So, Mark, do you want to turn on the child theme, or see the child theme?
Trying to get in there.
I'm trouble figuring that out here.
Mark, you can also, one of the things that's really cool about it is what Ron said is that, you know, just the click of a button, the BuddyPress function on the theme itself just goes away. So were we going to show the theme before and after activation of BuddyPress?
We were. I thought I deactivated BuddyPress, but I still see it.
The child theme was a subfolder.
So do I have to move it up?
Yeah, you actually have to move it out.
That makes sense.
Mark skipped the newbie session yesterday.
You just talk as I do this.
Maybe Mark and Lisa should talk sometime.
You deactivated BuddyPress and it stayed on?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
I had that happen to
maybe
me.
Maybe a bug in.
I think it was deactivated when it was upgraded. It's still sitting there in the deactivated plugins, site-wide deactivated plugins. Huh. And when you deactivate it, it still runs it. Huh. So it's just a quick database thing to fix.
All right, let me see your child themes here.
BuddyPress runs you.
Yeah.
I just want to point out that this is such an intuitive idea that they're a step ahead of kind of the merge curve, and that, you know, there will be the day when, you know, the merge occurs and people activate themes and they become really surprised when their theme just breaks all of a sudden. So, you know, what it does for guys like me is it kind of, you know, sets in stone the idea we should prepare for the merge and get our themes to a point where they're, you know, WordPress theme and or BuddyPress, you know, specific, so that...
And BBPress as well.
Well, yeah.
All three.
Yeah.
House. Yeah. So, Brian, what are your thoughts on theme frameworks?
This is being televised.
Have you tried them all out? Like, what are the big ones? Is Hybrid, there's Thematic, Sandbox?
That one. I've personally never wanted to get into theme frameworks because from a code standpoint, I just don't understand it. Working with, being honest, working with themes and files in PHP and CSS works for me, so I've chosen to kind of take more of the visual approach when it comes to WordPress themes. You know, there's a market that's growing, and from a competition standpoint, I felt too far behind the curve and just let those guys take that market, and I'll stay in the market I'm in. I'm trying to work towards more of a framework-type system with StudioPress just to kind of simplify our back end, but something like this will certainly get me into the mind frame that it's time to, you know, roll with technology and keep up with the transitioning that's going on in WordPress.
Cool. I always thought, I sort of agree with you. Oh, is this the child theme?
Yeah, this is one of them. This is called Coffee with Friends.
Oh. Wow. You know, I don't drink coffee. You should have chosen a different theme.
What's that?
You're out.
Should have put an Audrey Hepburn picture.
Yeah. One of the things, how I actually got into working with Thematic is one of our clients uses it.
Love it.
And they have, I'll say, half a dozen blogs. And each blog has its own Thematic child theme.
Oh, cool.
So they copy the CSS over, the background's all laid out and everything. And then, this one has these page templates because they're using those in that blog. And this one may have a category template, that type of thing.
Let's do an audience poll. Who here has ever used a theme framework before? Raise your hand. That's a good chunk of the audience. That's like a good
30-40%.
Yeah, I would say 25. They raised their hand, kind of. Who's used, say, Hybrid? Any Thematic folks? That's pretty even. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that for the people that have worked with this before, Daisy did this all with CSS. She actually did not have to do any PHP code at all.
How about Sandbox? Is anyone still using Sandbox? Okay, good, good, good.
Anyone using Carrington? No? One, two?
Okay, Kubrick? It's all about the big blue header.
Ron, can you just take a minute and just explain to people that the only thing, not to belittle what you did, but it only took 151 lines of code to make that theme prepared for BuddyPress.
Okay, that's fair enough. So kind of, what I did actually is, with this turned off, any Thematic child theme will work with this. It's 100% compatible. There was a very, very minor bug in Thematic that I had to fix that actually BuddyPress trips. And other than that, I put one line of code in the Thematic files. And the other 150 lines is actually an extension that I wrote that loads up the extra pieces for BuddyPress, which, for example, the blog members, those links across there, there's a function that actually adds those to the output.
Cool.
And I did it all via hooks.
All right, cool. Well, thank you very much.
Yep, welcome. Thanks. Are we jumping right into plugins now?
Let's go to plugins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now we're moving on to plugins, and we should have three contestants grouped.
Badge first?
Yeah, let's do badge. So badge grab is sort of a relevant idea, I think, to a WordCamp where you have, for example, a lot of sites want to have people promote that they're going to the event, and they offer these badges here, sort of like this.
Well, they can introduce it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Wait, you again.
It's me. I work with a lot of bloggers. Bloggers like to be able to put their links up or their badges on their sites and their sidebars or in a page so that it's really easy for other people to go and grab the code. Maybe their visitors don't have a lot of HTML experience to be able to code it themselves. So they put the whole code, copy and paste it right into something, and it should work. What I found is if you put that information into the Tiny MCE visual editor, chances are it's going to break.
Yeah.
A lot. I've had to redo a lot of pages over the last couple of years. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to make it really easy for people to put this code up on their site. And right now it's set up primarily to go into pages and posts, but it's created a short code with the name, with the word badge. And it's
this is a short code.
Yeah, it says the badge, and then it'll have the URL for the target, the title, which will populate both the alt tag and the title tag of that of the code with the same, just for simplicity. And then it'll you put an image URL in there as well. And then on the front end, when you publish that post or page, then what you get is an image. You pull the image as a non-linking image, and then below that you get a text box that when you click on it selects the text so you can easily paste, copy it out. And that will give you validating code that can go up on any other website. So
cool.
And yeah. Then if you saw he used a button in the visual editor to pull up a dialog to be able to enter the different values. There's also an options page under the admin area where you can set defaults. So if you have just one badge that you're using, you can enter that information in there, or you can enter the URL and only modify the parts that are changing from one instance to another within your site, and you can just use the short code of badge if you want to always have the same ones.
Very cool.
So Brian, do you like this one?
Yeah, and this is for demonstration purposes only. Can you go to Studio Press? I want to show this idea in action, but in a way that, like Daisy was saying, was done kind of in line and had issues trying to style. If you go to the affiliates page.
If you enter your credit card number on the buy page, and then
click on one of the scroll back up. Any of those, like the 300 by 250. This is just an example of how I kind of manually did it, which is show the image and have the code below. But I had problems styling it and whatnot. And I plan to, if it's not released already, grab that and use that for our site. So good idea.
What I liked was the use of short code. I love short codes. They're one of my favorite features. And so the more short codes, the better. And so I like that that was a good way to put it in. I also like that there was tiny MCE integration. That's not easy. My only suggestion there would be it was hidden in the kitchen sink button. So it was kind of hidden down below. So when we first tried it, we didn't actually see it. And two, there's a trick you can do where when it inserts a short code, you can actually make that be an object of tiny MCE. I don't even know how to do that, but
okay.
But like, you know, when you do a gallery shortcode now and it shows like the little gallery picture, that would be kind of cool if you could actually have like a little badge or logo or something rather than just showing the shortcode raw in the text area.
Version 2.
Yeah, I think that'd be neat. And you found some issues, though.
Yes. I don't know how many of you attended, if you developers attended my security session. But let's see. I did.
These are not issues. These are constructive criticisms.
Yes. So I did find that you could do sort of things like this.
Boom.
Yeah.
That's called cross-site scripting. It's very, very common in plugins, unfortunately. I put my slides up, so check my Twitter feed for my security slides.
But so this is fixable with just a line or two added to it.
Yes, it's a simple wrapper around where you're echoing out the value in these text fields.
Yeah. So literally just with adding the, I guess, ESC underscore ATTR,
yep. Escape attribute.
When you output those things, would fix that problem and your plugin would be completely secure.
Okay.
You done?
Thanks.
Thank you.
This session sponsored by Escape Attribute. Who's up next?
Let's do
manage plugins.
Yes, do manage plugins.
You want to talk us through it?
Everybody? All right, so the plugin started off as a simple plugin for us to be able to manage clients that we have. We kind of update, go in there and update plugins sometimes to modify them to make them work the way we need to make them work. So we didn't want our clients going in there and making updates to the plugins automatically. So we figured we put a little script in there to kind of give them a display message saying, hey, don't update this. So that's really how it got started. Then we threw in a couple extra things, like hiding the whole plugins menu altogether so nobody can get to it. We actually locked that page and locked the, if you scroll down to the settings page.
Which settings?
It hides this also, so they can't get in there to get the app. Then also, if we still have the ability to show the plugins page enabled, and somebody goes in there and changes something or adds a new plugin, we could receive an email. If they go in there and make an upgrade, automatically we receive an email. I can call them up and say, hey, we told you not to do that. that's pretty much it. It's a pretty simple plugin.
So what was your use case for this? What sort of problem did you see that you wanted to solve?
I told Brad he was going to do the questions. So.
Okay. Oh, yeah, sure.
Good answer.
Mark, can you guys all make sure you're speaking directly into the microphone so they can pick it up?
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple different use cases. One being when a new plugin comes out and you go to upgrade and actually breaks your site or doesn't work, and then you have to revert back to an older version. So it's very nice to kind of lock it out until we've confirmed that it is actually fixed. If you want to go to the plugins page, we can actually show a quick example of how it works. So you can see there's a new version of BuddyPress. So the plugin actually adds the link ignore update. So if you click that, it uses Ajax and will actually block it.
Yeah.
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 That's not your bug.
Yeah. So essentially at this point, I guess that wasn't a very good example, but it locks it down. So you can see it actually did stop it. It got rid of the upgrade message.
Actually, this is running on WordPress MQ, and the plugin's not able to
compatible. Oh, yeah, that too. But essentially, it basically locks it down with the message saying, there is a new version, however, upgrade's been disabled by the administrator. And then you could even hide that message completely so they won't even know there's a new update altogether. So you could have every plugin could be out of date. You could lock them all down, and to the normal user, it would say there are no updates. So the main reason was if a plugin breaks, or if you make modifications to a plugin, a lot of times you might have a plugin that doesn't quite do what you need it, so you need to kind of adjust the code a bit. If you go to upgrade, it's going to wipe out all of your changes, so that's a nice way to lock it down. A feature we were talking about adding is probably a way you can put a little description in there for each one to kind of explain why you locked that particular plugin, so if somebody else sees it.
Cool.
And MU support, too.
My initial thought when I saw this was it kind of scared me because I like everyone being all up to date all the time. But your point about compatibility is a good one. But hopefully we can fix that in core. So if a plugin is not compatible, they'll actually tell you rather than breaking your site.
I just want to point out that I appreciate guys like you because I spend so much time on the front end and the visual and design end. And when I'm running sites on my own that I want to have locked down and stuff like that, I have no idea how to make that happen. You know, so I really appreciate the development teams that come in and put together these things that I have no interest in putting together, but just or no capacity to do it. So it really excites me.
Your turn. Two stylistic things I wanted to say for this page actually, where there's some standard class for things like buttons in WordPress that. I like that this page is very simple, sort of single use. But if you can make the buttons look like all the other buttons. Also, you guys have blogs too, in addition to Twitter. It'd be cool to link to them from that page as well, so people could see your blog, your Twitter, everything. Sponsored by.
That's your standard WordPress save button class.
Did the code pass the test?
Your code was the only thing I couldn't find a security bug in. I really tested hard this.
Yes, very, very much.
I was very curious to see if I could bypass this lock plugins page, so I created another admin2 account, and I tried all sorts of funky stuff, and I couldn't get in. So kudos on that.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Last but not least, conversation options. Come on down.
Okay, so actually there's more screens than this, right? So the post edit screen also has stuff.
Talking to the mic.
Sorry, yeah. Okay, cool. Okay, so the idea is, to engage your users, your readers, in a conversation with you. So when you write something, most of the time, unless you're just blogging for yourself, you want to hear feedback on what you've written. The idea is that you can prompt a user to leave a comment by asking them a specific question. So what we've done is we added this box, meta box, onto the post edit screen. And basically, it allows you to put in any question, any sort of prompt whatsoever. And it's gonna, this box is gonna show, this text is gonna show up above the comment form on your site on the front end. One. So basically, you know, all this does is gonna add a box above the comment form to prompt people. And that wasn't really, great if you just put some text because it's not really styled or anything. This one is.
So we actually have pre-styled this. I consulted with Brian Gardner. This is a style he calls epileptic.
Can we show the style editor? I think that'd be a nice place to go next. We made that kind of deliberately ugly.
So we created this options page that lets you style that box. It's all slidey and stuff. And it's got fancy color pickers. And all that's using built-in WordPress technology for Farbtastic is the color picker and jQuery, so built-in libraries. So it lets you choose a bunch of options. You can either turn on or turn off the border, change the border, color and type, and width. And just some basic kind of CSS type properties so you can style that box to look as close to your site as possible.
Yeah, let's see. A little better. It matches the copy.
So that's it. I mean, the idea is just to prompt a conversation with your readers.
One quick question I have, and I'm assuming I think I know the answer. Is it a one style only, meaning you couldn't have categories, you know, if you had five different categories of posts and you, for whatever reason, wanted to have a certain color style for each category?
At this point, yeah. It's a good V2 feature.
Okay. I thought the use of the built-in WordPress color picker was really cool.
Thanks.
I forgot we had that, actually.
The other thing is, it's not really a user interface thing, but we built a plugin class so for this options page. So it's really easy to extend with a subclass.
Cool.
So if you want to, you know, make other slidey view-wizzy things.
I thought that was slick as well.
Yeah, I was very impressed by that.
I don't think I escaped things, though.
I know, it sort of matches.
So...
Security.
Mark, the security one through?
I already spilled the beans that dun, previous dun, dun. Team was the only one. So let's see.
You can do it in the color scheme.
I have one right here.
Oh, no.
So this is a front-end cross-site scripting bug. So I'm just embedding a script and a font here, so some of you already got the punchline.
And the question, so I have a question mark. Was this because you're an admin and you have unfiltered HTML capabilities, or were they not filtering their cases?
I believe they just
filtering.
Yeah. But I also found it in the options. I think I had it pre-populated somewhere.
It's okay.
I know I did have it down there.
Da, da, da.
Ouch.
And now you can all log in into my WordPress install here. There's my cookie. But again, these are simple fixes just with those wrappers.
Usually one liners.
So, yep.
So the other thing on my end developing this, one of the biggest challenges, I guess, was, and I'm sure you guys came across this with intense debate. I was talking to Bo about it. But the comment form is essentially unfilterable and actionable. It's all or nothing, right? So it's either you replace it with whatever or, you know. So if you have intense debate installed and you install this plugin, it's going to wipe out your intense debate form. So it's a negative. I think it's a good conversation starter about making the comments stuff more filterable to plugins.
Yeah, that'd be neat. Cool, thank you.
Thank you.
So, so which were you really into?
I liked all of them really well. You know, it, for me and the themes, it's difficult because they kind of get classified into two different themes. I mean, one's obviously more geared towards a particular style of blogger, and the other one is built more community site. So it's really kind of hard. I mean, I hate to say this, but I mean, my vote is kind of for both of them because they both represent both. But if I had to pick one, just from a functionality standpoint, are we giving our results? Is that what we're doing, or no? Are we gonna huddle? We'll be back in 1 minute. We're gonna huddle.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. We have a verdict. Wow, that was hardcore.
It was.
So, after much deliberation, hours and hours of talking over the various options. For themes, we decided that the jury was hung. We couldn't decide between the two, and we hated to come to that conclusion. But for two different very reasons, we both enjoyed both themes.
They're really just two different. I mean, one's sort of like a development framework, and the other's a really cool photo blogging theme. I mean, they're almost one sort of a theme, and one's like a framework more. And so it was hard to really pick one or the other, because they're almost in different categories.
So you both win.
Congratulations. You want to say the plugins?
Yeah, for the plugins, we decided that... the conversation plugin, I've now forgotten the name of it, conversation starter, was the winner. We'd like to be... We liked it because it was a really simple idea, easy to understand, and very well executed.
And useful for users. I could definitely see if it's something that elicits more interaction on a blog. And I must say I was personally swayed by the little bouncy things. Ooh. I just love that.
You know that go. That's
awesome. I get chills every time I see it. So, yeah.
Well, and it was for everybody, well done.
It was the
well
most
done.
Polished. You used all the right classes and styles and everything like that. So good job on the polish as well. So, congratulations to all the winners.
One final thing. I really like how they're offering support here. So they're not just throwing a plugin up. They're actually making a commitment to support it. So,
cool.
Very good.
Watch your head.
Okay, so we will announce the winners on the dev blog next week. Well, next week is tomorrow.
Oh.